Good afternoon, listeners. Welcome to today's celebration. Please open your Catholic Channel hymnals to Sirius XM 129. That's Sirius XM 129.
It's the Catholic Guy Show on the road. This week, Lino broadcasts with our neighbors in the north, Canada, where he'll be making new friends along the way.
Just look at all these fine Canadians.
Now, here's Lino Rulli.
Hello, Catholics, and everyone else. Welcome to your home for pure Catholic pleasure. It's the Catholic Guy Show in lovely Toronto, Ontario. I don't know why I'm using that accent. CatholicGuy.com, where you find me on the Facebook and the Twitter. Salt and Light, the Catholic Media Foundation known as Salt and Light, with its CEO, Father Tom Rosica, is where you find me all this week. Father Tom, who's been my co-host before. Let me tell you, the CEO of Salt and Light Catholic Media Foundation and the English language assistant to the Holy See Press Office. You got enough credentials. You really don't need to be wasting hours of your day like this.
It's my contribution to help the poor and the excluded. And so it's so good to have you here with us.
The excluded. Well, I work in Catholic media, so I got the poor angle down pretty well. And the excluded. You know, I'm glad you brought it. You know, Father Tom, you're a Vatican insider. Is that fair to say?
I got my foot in the door, we can say.
Okay. What are you talking? How many times have you met Pope Francis?
Several times.
Do you know how many times, honestly?
Several times. I was at the Synod all last October, so we saw him every day. And talk to him, and several other times.
You don't know the number of times you've had conversations with the Vicar of Christ. That's kind of interesting.
No, I don't. I hide those. Those are quiet things.
That's what I, and that's the exact opposite of me. You know, I met him a year ago.
He reminded me. Yes, he hasn't overcome that yet.
This Wednesday will be the 1 year and 10 week anniversary of him and I meeting.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, the poor man.
He suffers so much. He suffers and suffers. I'm a bit of an outsider, though. I wanted to bring that when you talk about the excluded, because you know me, I'm always on the radio and I'm saying odd things and I'm saying crazy things.
Yes.
And then when you get together with the Vatican, with the Pope and everybody else, you look at me as what, a clown?
We pray for you. We're grateful for you. We remember you and we love you.
Oh, this is the, you can tell we're in the papacy of Pope Francis. That's There's right. A lot of mercy going on.
You're darn right.
You're a priest.
A Catholic priest. Roman right. Catholic priest. Single, not married, very happy, no children.
Did you hear about my news lately, didn't you? I know you did because you emailed me, but...
I heard the news. I wasn't sure whether to believe it. We had 42 phone calls on our network asking if we would carry a story on the engagement. I said, I don't have any proof yet.
I am engaged.
It's incredible. And how long did it take?
Well, I'm 43 years old, or do you mean how much bribing did I have to do with?
Both.
we dated for a year, and then I had to convince her, cajole her. She might have been drinking when she accepted the invitation, but you know the key to all this. I found the key, and I want to just give a tip to the single guys out there. If you want a girl to say yes to this engagement plan, the ring must make up for that which you lack in every other department. And so I just made sure that the ring was so sparkly and stuff. She couldn't say no.
The dollar store's got that section in the back with the sprinkles. So I'm glad you used your common sense because you're certainly not making a lot of money for this job.
No. Now, how long have you been a priest for? I mean, I know you would never ask a man his age. That would be rude, of course.
I have been a Catholic priest of Jesus Christ for 29 years.
And
I've been a religious for 4 or 5 years beyond that because I'm a member of a religious congregation.
Oh, see, now you confuse people when you say you've been religious for 4 or 5 years. It sounds
religious
like
and spiritual.
you're a member of a religious community.
Right. I belong to the bazillion fathers. We're tons. Bazillion.
There's a bazillion of you.
That's right.
Or yeah. It's named after Saint
Basil the Great, and we're of the Latin Rite. Western Basilians. I don't have a long beard. I'm not Greek Orthodox or one of the Eastern churches. They have longer liturgies than we do. And it was a small community founded in France in 1822. We're educators. We were founded after the French Revolution. And we ended up in Toronto, of all things, an English city, because one of our former students had become the Archbishop of Toronto a long, long time ago. So here we are.
Now, I love Toronto. Unseasonably warm today. I mean, people are listening, of course, around the globe right now, but it's like 90 degrees and humid. That's not Canadian weather, eh?
We prepared this for the Pan Am Games that are taking place right now because we believe in climate change.
No, do it. Should we? Speaking of climate change, Father Tom Rosica. Should we bring up Pope Francis and climate change?
Let's talk about more things first, please.
let's ease into this thing, right? All right, let me tell you the first thing that's on my mind then. You know, I travel a lot, of course. The Catholic Guy Show being on the road means this week in Toronto, next week in Boston, the week after that going through Kenya and Ethiopia.
Good luck.
So I'm going to complain about my hotel room now.
Okay.
Because once I get to Africa, I can't be complaining about anything. If I have a room, I will be grateful, right? Have you ever been there?
I've been to Egypt and all around Egypt, up and down Egypt, north and south, and the Sinai, but really not into the depths of Africa.
All right. Well, I've been to Egypt a few times. I've been to Ghana. I've been to South Africa. This is my first chance getting into the different parts, so I don't know how that's going to go. But I'll tell you, here's my thing about my hotel room. So I came to Toronto. I got here late last night. And so I check into the room, and first of all, there's this weird thing that I checked into the room, and there was the creepiest thing happened when I walked into, not my room, but just into the lobby of the hotel, right?
Yeah.
There was a man speaking to a woman, and you could see he's hitting on her, obviously, and he's like...
In Toronto.
In Toronto.
Oh, my God.
Of all places.
Oh.
And he goes... You know, I knew I liked you from the day I met you. I'm thinking, that's got to be the worst pickup line, right?
I don't use that. Yeah, I tell him, I saw you under a fig tree, and I...
Does that work? Sounds very biblical. So I already had a bad feel of this hotel, but I get into the room, and it was warm. Again, Toronto, who would have guessed it was going to be warm? So I turn the air conditioning on, take a shower, I climb into bed, and as soon as I get into bed, I notice that the design of this hotel room is such that the air conditioning unit is blowing directly onto my head.
Yes.
That's it.
It happens.
But that's horrible. So if you turn it off, it's going to be too warm.
Right.
But if you keep it on, as I did, the entire night, the air conditioning is just blowing on my nose. And if I want to blow my nose, that's my own business with my nose. Father Tom, it drives me crazy when things go wrong. All right? So now I'm paying for this hotel. Now, you can't complain, of course. I can't go down and complain to the...
Call room service.
Well, what are they going to do? Give me booze?
No, tell them to turn the bed around.
Well, room service isn't going to help. And maybe they could bring me a steak, but they can't bring me... there's not enough room in the room. Oh, that seems very... I think I could have been more creative the way I phrased that. There's not enough space in the room to change the bed into another spot. Like, that's the only spot the bed works.
This is where we have redemptive suffering.
Now, what does that mean?
It means you offer this up for the poor souls in purgatory.
Catholics have heard about this generation after generation, redemptive suffering, and you offer it up for the souls in
purgatory.
Another
way to look at it from my Italian grandmother, shut your mouth.
Well,
that's... What's the matter with you?
That's just as theological. Now, what does that mean? Because I hear this all the time. I'm glad you said it. I try to offer it up, but I don't know what it means. I don't know how to wrap my mind around. All right, the air conditioning's blowing on my head. I'm annoyed. And then if the idea is offer it up for the souls in purgatory, I go, why? Are they hot?
No, let's put this in a bigger context. Let's apply all of our best theology. The first issue would be, do the windows open in the hotel room?
No.
That is a problem. The second issue would be hot-blooded Italians. The best thing that can happen is have an air conditioner to freeze you. Okay. The third thing would be, if there are some inconveniences, such as this, is it worth making a big stink about or putting an extra blanket on or cover your head?
Well, that's what I covered my head with a sheet.
I remember once going into Egypt where it was 45 degrees centigrade.
Now, see,
it's
up here,
over 100 degrees.
Oh,
and we were not allowed to go outside of our rooms. I was staying with the Sisters of the Sacred Heart, and we had to stay in our rooms between the hours of 12 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Otherwise, you would fry. And so there, what can you do? Complain to Mother Superior that I'm cooking or it's hot?
Yes.
Keep my mouth shut, follow the instructions, drink bottled water, take a shower every 20 minutes, and then go outside after the sun went down. And I offered that up. Now, if you look at all the little inconveniences that we have in our lives, and there are many.
Yes.
We tend to make all kinds of noise about them. But when we realize that the vast majority of people in the world don't have such luxuries as air conditioners, swallow it.
See, this is, you can tell Father Tom Rosica works for the Vatican Press Office. That sounds like a Pope Francis thing to say.
Kind of.
Lino, don't complain about this air conditioning. There's people who don't have air conditioning.
That's right.
Well, they overpaid for their hotel if they don't have air conditioning, is what
I'm saying. Think of the people south of us. No air conditioning.
I don't want to think about the people south of us. I want to think about the people in my room last night. That's me by myself.
I hope you were alone.
I was by myself in case
You're
my fiance.
Single man.
In case my fiance is getting nervous. And then I feel that's the thing. I can't go downstairs and complain to the front desk because it's just some guy. You know, it's not like he built the room.
Who chose the hotel? What's wrong with this Sirius radio group?
Sirius XM, they're always putting me in the wrong
hotel.
Call
me XM, I'll give you a good hotel. I got good connections up here.
I can't blame the brand of the hotel, Father Tom, as much as it is whoever designed this hotel. The overnight guy doesn't have anything to do with it. It's not technically his
fault. Call the owner. Or the next time you book a hotel room, you call and say, where is the air conditioner in my bedroom? Is it in the window? Is it on the left side of the bed? Is it above my head? Is it in the bathroom?
And I'll tell you why. I'll call the owner. You know what I'm annoyed about with these Hilton hotels? Now, I will tell you where I'm staying.
Uh-oh.
The problem with the Hilton hotels, every time I go to a Hilton hotel, I feel like I'm giving Paris Hilton money to go to a club.
You'd be very good to the Hilton hotels because we're a beneficiary of the Hilton Foundation.
Oh, wow.
And they give great grants to Catholic projects.
So they do?
I stay in the Hilton whenever I can.
Well, I'm staying at a Hilton, and why is the air conditioning unit blown on my neck?
Call Mr. Hilton.
I'm going to call Mr. Hilton. And you know, maybe I've just put two and two together. You know, Paris Hilton has always had that kind of catchphrase, that's hot. Maybe she's referring to the rooms.
She's talking to the rooms because she knows you can't open the windows.
On the properties themselves, she's saying that's hot. Now, the other reason I bring this up is, now you gave up a very good answer when it comes to theology, which is, Lino, something's going wrong. You offer it up. I got a different question for you, however.
All right.
There are a lot of things in my life, and the church is one of them, where I don't know what to do. I want to complain, but I don't know who exactly to complain to. Like, there are things, okay, the hotel. Mr. Hilton is too busy to worry about the air conditioning. But it is kind of silly, right, to design a hotel and then have the air conditioning unit blowing directly on the bed. That's poor design. You'd agree with that part, at least.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a problem right off the bat. But I don't know, there's nothing I can do about it. People feel that way about the church, do they not? People go into the church and they go, well, I didn't like that homily. How long have you been a priest for?
29 years.
How many years do you think people have said that about your homilies?
Oh, 29.
29 years, yeah. That's right. And there's not a thing we can do about it, right?
Well, there is. Let's talk about the homilies. You know, Pope John Paul II issued a wonderful letter in about 1998 called Dies Domini, the Day of the Lord. Doesn't get a lot of play. It's one of the best letters about the Eucharistic assembly, and it's about Mass, and it's about the rights of the faithful to have good preaching. It's a very important thing, because when the preaching is not good, which is really one of our hallmarks at present, I mean, there's a big challenge for us.
it's a hallmark of the Catholic Church.
What I tell people when they say the homily, you know, it's awful, I won't say the word, I said, did you ever call Father and sit down with him? Get a bunch of your friends together. Or better yet, invite Father over to your house for pizza. Get a couple beers and say, hey, Father, Padre, especially if it's a young priest, we love you. You're handsome. You're great. You're dynamic. The preaching sucks. We got to do something about this. And you create a rapport and you become kind of a response, a feedback to this guy. And I know many times when I taught the young guys in the seminary, I'd say, bond with families, with normal people, and go to their homes and say, hey, what did you think of Sunday? Or if the wife complains to you and said, you preached for 45 minutes, you couldn't get out of the parking lot. Those are really legitimate things. Or are you connected, Father, with the people and their real issues? This is why Francis, Pope Francis, has been so successful with those daily homilies. He's speaking their language, and it's a seasoned pastor. And every And sometimes when I get the text early in the morning to send out to all the journalists, I find myself in my room across the street where I live, laughing, crying, stunned by the simplicity and the clarity of what he says. He's a masterful preacher.
I'm going to get right to it. Father Tom Rosica, since you work so closely with the Vatican Press Office, with Pope Francis himself, his homilies, why is it? He's a smart guy, by the way.
Oh.
It's not that he's a dumb guy and so he can't get into theological ideas, right?
Oh, no.
He's a smart guy. People, you know, don't even know sometimes. He's got a doctorate, right? I mean, this is not a man who just is like,
He's a seasoned pastor. He's got a great sense of theology, but he understands the people where they are. And he's utterly amazing. And the homilies have been a huge, huge success. I remember people telling him in the beginning, Holy Father, you know, you can do this, but by June 2013, you're going to be exhausted. The heck with this. Those homilies. I've been in the chapel when he's preached, and it's astounding. He comes in very serious. I remember a couple ones. He's talking 2 years ago about simplicity of life, not accumulating possessions. And he looks up and he said, how many of you have seen a hearse going to the cemetery with a trailer attached to it? And everybody kind of looks and there's a stunned moment and then they laugh. And he uses the expression, religion is not God's spray that you put it on. And he tells marvelous stories and he engages the people. And you look at the people's faces and they're nodding. They say, yeah, I got it. And you look at some of the people in our churches on Sunday, and they ain't nodding or any, they're sleeping.
Right. Well, then why aren't more, from just a egotistical point of view, if you're a priest and you see the popularity of Pope Francis, and everybody wants to be liked, everybody wants to be popular at some base level, I mean, we don't need to drive you crazy about it. Why wouldn't every Catholic priest, bishop, let me say something very loud here.
Cardinal.
Cardinals. Why wouldn't every bishop, cardinal, anybody go, you know what? I would like some of that popularity. I would like, may I use the word power in some way, to get the message of Christ across. Still, you have a little bit of power.
You know,
why wouldn't everybody take that and go, enough with the homilies I've been writing. I want to write a homily like Francis is writing.
Francis is not writing the homilies.
I realized that as soon as I said it.
You know what he's
doing?
Well, the big homilies are written. They're prepared texts and everything else. But for me, when I look back over 29 years of priesthood, 1 year of diaconate before that, the most important thing that I can do as a priest is to preach and proclaim the word of God, to give them a desire for God and a desire for the sacraments. And I take that very seriously. Even the days when I don't preach at Mass, or the few times, and just a few times when I've celebrated Mass alone, like yesterday or another day, I say, I prepare to preach that word of God. Now, I did scripture study, so that's kind of a little bit of an advantage. But preaching and proclaiming the word of God is one of the most important things we can do as priests. I remember when I was in the seminary doing my theology work here in this very city, the preaching courses stunk. They were terrible. And I took all my preaching courses at the Presbyterian College. I was the token Catholic with all of these Protestant students. It was one of the best things I've ever done because the Catholics were blow-off courses. But the courses at the Presbyterian College, every time I walk by Knox Presbyterian College, I say a prayer of gratitude for Dr. Hay, who was my professor. He's gone to God now, because he made us work and he made us connect, and we had to read the text in the original languages, and I was the token Catholic. I remember he was very merciful to me. My final exam, he said to me, you.
You. He didn't say Tom Rosica. He just said you.
You. He said, you can give your final exam. The final exam was to prepare an exegetical homily. And these poor Protestants sitting around me, they had to do a half hour. And he said, you, I am merciful. 15 minutes. I don't get away with that in any Catholic church now. But, but it was very important, and I'm very grateful, because the Protestant churches have taught us the primacy of the Word of God, and we are the church of the sacraments. But we have to be the church of both.
Why do you think that is, Father Tom? Why would my Protestant friends, because it's absolutely true, by the way, why would my Protestant friends' preaching be better than my Catholic priest friends' preaching?
It's sad, because I think a lot of this goes to the emphasis or the primacy of the Word of God in our tradition. Second Vatican Council gave us back the Bible, De Verbum, the Dogmatic Constitution on Divine Revelation, and the subsequent documents about preaching, and Cardinal Ratzinger's wonderful document back in 1984 and the interpretation of scriptures, all of those wonderful, 1983, those wonderful documents.
Was I supposed to have read any of these things that you're referring to?
Well, I hope Sirius required you to read.
SiriusXM, sure, they required me.
If they didn't, I'll call Cardinal Dolan tonight.
Well, I'm afraid Cardinal Dolan might go, I forgot to read them too. I haven't gotten to it yet.
But we've got many, many things that have encouraged preaching in the Catholic tradition. There's a great institute in St. Louis University run by the Dominicans, which specializes in preaching. But still, I don't think it has the priority for us, because if we look at why so many people are going to the fundamentalist churches, the evangelical churches, the Pentecostal churches, so much of it is to hear those great sermons or homilies.
Great stories, right?
Incredible. It's a fact. But a homily is not to recycle chicken soup for the soul. I remember a bunch of seminarians getting ordained a couple of years ago. I was teaching them too. And they put down on their wish list for their gifts, we want the latest editions of Chicken Soup for the Soul. I said, for what? They said, well, this is good homily filler stuff. I said, God forbid, that's meant for when you're sitting outside in the sun or in a plane stuck. You ask for the great texts of Father Don Sr., of Father Carol Stumuller, of Father Raymond Brown, and you read these reflections and nourish that's found there. Nourish yourself on those things that are found
now,
there.
And this gets back to what I was saying. You know, when I get to the hotel last night here in Toronto, I check into my hotel, and the air conditioning unit's blowing on my head. And by the way, it was a prepaid room, so there was nothing I could do about it. I was staying at that hotel. And you know, the fact of the matter is, I said, well, Lino, you're here no matter what. You're stuck for the next, you know, week here in Toronto. That's your hotel. Unless I really want to just pick up and change hotels because I don't want air conditioning blowing on my head. Father Tom, would you say, isn't that what most Catholics feel? They go, you know what? I'm stuck in here, whether it be bad preaching or bad music or whatever it might be. I'm stuck, or I have to pick up roots and leave the church. That's how I think people feel.
That would be called an extreme measure. But how many times when you've heard a bad homily, and I've told people this, forge a good relationship with the priest, with the pastor. You don't go in an attack mode. Forge a relationship and say, look, I come here because I'm bombarded all week with all kinds of words, and nonsense. I come here to be nourished and inspired. Father, can you help me do that? Can you feed me? Can you give me some hope and not put me to sleep? Or I wouldn't say that, but...
What's the right length of a homily, by the way? I went to Mass yesterday. I was in Minnesota with my family over the weekend. And the priest's homily was probably 3 minutes. And I said, boom! He said something, he mic dropped, and he walked out of there.
Well, that would be like an extreme diet, I would say. Sunday Mass, I would say 7 to 10 minutes. For a weekday Mass, 4 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes. If you can't say it in 3 to 4 minutes, and there are times when a lengthy homily is required for major celebrations. Some of the big celebrations I've had to do, especially in many languages, is to prepare a text and to make that text my own. But, you know, Pope Francis is offering us a remarkable example of preaching. A remarkable. In fact, in Evangelii Gaudium, there's
now,
a
Now, what
whole
is
section.
That? Now, what's Evangelii Gaudium?
It's a pasta dish.
It sounds excellent. Is it a red sauce or is it a white sauce?
It's the award-winning, if you want, the acclaimed apostolic exhortation. In other words, a big letter of Pope Francis. It's his signature. It's his way of saying, this is my plan for the church. And a lot of it comes from the Synod and the New Evangelization, but there's a lot of Bergoglio in there. And it's a breathtaking, magnificent, high-altitude, connecting document. And he's got a section in there, I forgot how many pages, it's about 20 pages on the homily. This is something that should have come out after the Synod on the Word of God in 2008.
I wasn't there. Was that a big event?
It was a big event, and one of the requirements of that Synod was to produce a document to produce a guide, a study guide for preaching, if you will, directory for preaching, and nothing came. Pope Francis decides to offer that to us in the context of evangelization. And most recently, the Vatican did another very beautiful thing, the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments. In other words, the office that deals with the liturgies and the masses, they produced a marvelous document this past spring, a homiletic directory. And it's very, very good. We try to promote it as much as we can.
Now, see, now, Father Tom Rosica, this is how you know you're an insider of the Vatican.
Oh.
Most of those words I didn't understand. I understand something about diuretic.
No. Directory.
Directory. See, now I was getting some of the words mixed up there.
Yeah, sometimes it's a diuretic, but it's a directory. It's like a manual. It's like a handbook.
But now here's the thing. With Pope Francis, the perception I would say worldwide is that he takes all of those manuals, reads them, sets them aside, and speaks from the heart.
He does that with many texts. Like he did that this past week in South America. It was hysterical a couple times. Speaking to the religious the other day, he looked up and said, look, I got a prepared text here. Here, the president of the Episcopal Conference, take this and put it on the website. Now I want to speak heart to heart. But it was Sunday night, the pièce de résistance. In other words, the crowning moment when he met with 600,000 youth on the riverfront in Paraguay before going to the airport.
This is last night you're talking about.
Sunday night. Astounding. He took the text and he says, look, there's a prepared text here and they're often boring. So now let's talk. And he connected. It was a truly magnificent moment. It doesn't mean the prepared talk, which has a lot of his thoughts, was not used or necessary because it's published in the Vatican website. But it was the connection. There was a connection there. And you know what I said to myself last night watching that, sitting in my room and doing the transcription? I said, I ran a World Youth Day. I've been present at many World Youth Days. Last night was one of the best, if not the best, World Youth Day connection I've ever seen with young people around Peter. It was astounding.
Now, you see, Father Tom Rosica has a lot of knowledge. He's got a lot of history. He's got a lot of experience, whether it be with John Paul II, with Benedict XVI, or with our current Pope Francis. And, you know, when you mention these documents, we were talking about this before the show. Laudato Si, which is this encyclical that came out, a couple weeks ago, right?
La 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 la. Brother, Son, Sister, Moon.
Oh, is that a song or a movie?
It's from the movie, from Zeffirelli.
I didn't see the movie. I'm very busy.
You should watch that movie.
This is my point. This is why I said right at the beginning of today's show, hey, Father Tom, am I kind of an outsider? The Catholic Guy Show is sort of an outsider in all things Catholic media. And now I'm curious if I'm the outsider or if most of us didn't read this encyclical on the environment. So here's what we're going to do. I want to hear from people, if you read it, any of it. You probably read more than me, quite frankly. I want to see what they took away. And then you being a guy, yeah, you were on CNN. You were all over the place.
I will judge.
You're going to judge if you go, yes, you remembered that properly or you remembered this properly. Now, I also gave the warning. I go, there's a chance for the first time in the Catholic Guy Show's history, all the phone lines will be open because my audience hasn't read the thing yet. However, to sweeten the pot just a little bit, we're going to also get you a prayer card blessed by Pope Francis. If you were blessed enough that you actually read. Now, you don't have to read the whole thing, but if you read any of the encyclical that here on the Catholic Channel, I know you heard a lot of people talk about, it was front page news, whether it be the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or up here in Canada. What newspaper would that be, Father Tom?
We have the Globe and Mail. We have the Toronto Star. We have the Montreal Gazette. And we have all of this French stuff.
And all the French stuff, too. So 888-3-CATHOLIC, 888-322-8465.
Please call us, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not here for nothing.
Now, well, here's the beauty of it. You're not here for nothing because you don't, even if this is the first time nobody calls because people didn't read the encyclical, you're going to tell us what it is. But I want to first see if I'm in the minority. I admitted on the air several weeks ago, and I think I admitted it last week too, that I haven't gotten around to reading the encyclical yet. I'm very busy doing this radio show.
You got your girlfriend.
I got she's my fiance now.
Excuse me.
I got to keep her happy, you know. So you get a prayer card blessed by Pope Francis, even if you can tell us anything that you read in Laudato Si. So 888-3-CATHOLIC, 888-322-8465. It's the Catholic Guy Show in Toronto, Ontario, with Father Tom Rosica. He is the CEO of Salt and Light Catholic Media Foundation and the English language assistant to the Holy See Press Office.
Holy.
That's real stuff there. Saltandlighttv.org is their website, by the way. CatholicGuy.org is my website. 888-322-8465. Let's see. What has it been, 3 weeks now since they put that thing out?
June the 18th.
June the 18th. Oh, it's been almost a month now.
That's right.
Let's see if you read it, and if so, what you remember, and then Father Tom will tell us what we should have remembered after this.
Apparently, Canada said they would finally take Justin Bieber back, only if we send Leno home. We'll be right back so we can negotiate.